You're listening to Food Integrity Now with your host, Carol Grevet.
Hi, I'm Carol Grevet, and besides hosting Food Integrity Now for the past 5 years, I am also a certified life coach and health and wellness coach. I offer phone sessions or Skype sessions, and I can assist you with issues regarding your diet or life issues. If you'd like to find out more, please go to foodintegritycoaching.com or email me at carol@foodintegritynow.org. Let me assist you to have an amazing and healthy life. Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Grevet. I'm the host of the show. At Food Integrity Now, we envision a healthy, sustainable world. A world where our food is free from GMOs and harmful chemicals. A world where our food is safe for our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. If you share this vision, please go to our website and subscribe by joining us. And don't forget to confirm your email. Also, we are strictly funded by your donations, so if you are so inclined and can help us out, there are donate buttons at the end of each show page or on our main page. My guest today is Zen Honeycutt. Zen Honeycutt is the founder and director of Moms Across America, a national coalition of unstoppable moms. Their motto is Empowered Moms, Healthy Kids, and they are committed to empowering millions to educate themselves about GMOs and related pesticides, get GMOs labeled, and offer GMO-free and organic solution. Zen has been seen on CNN, The Dr. Oz Show, C-SPAN, and in the news in Reuters, RT.com, Fox News, and hundreds of other media outlets. And just last week in the Wall Street Journal. I wanted to get Zen back on our show today because just last Friday, she attended and spoke at a shareholders meeting at Monsanto in St. Louis at their headquarters. Zen, welcome to Food Integrity Now.
Thank you so much, Carol. It's great to be on your show.
We loved having you on again. And as I mentioned during your introduction, that you were able to attend a Monsanto shareholders meeting last Friday. And I knew I had to have you on the show right away to talk about this because this is a pretty big deal. First of all, how did you end up being allowed to attend this meeting?
Well, it was really amazing, and I'm so grateful to the Organic Consumers Association, Alexis Baden Mayer, who contacted me about a year ago because they were looking to put together a referendum, her along with Adam Ettinger, who Adam Ettinger has gone and spoken at the Monsanto shareholder meeting before, and you can see his account on YouTube. You can actually look. He was able to carry in a camera somehow and record it. And so they thought, considering last year we found glyphosate in breast milk and we were, you know, pushing to get, or still are pushing to get Roundup banned, that it would be good for the Monsanto shareholders to hear from a mom. And so they asked me to speak, and this was, you know, quite some time ago. The problem, however, is though that you need to have a referendum, before then that gets passed. You know, something, that is a proposal to change ways somehow in the company that gets passed by the board of directors to actually be voted on. So their referendum did not pass, and it was unclear whether or not I was going to be able to do this or not. And then maybe 2 months ago or so, Alexis Baden Mayer connected me with John Harrington at Harrington Investments, and he is a shareholder or share owner of Monsanto stock. And and we spoke, and it was decided upon that I would represent him at the meeting. And it was very exciting, and I began to prepare, you know, what I would talk about and ran it by, you know, Alexis Baden Mayer, who's a lawyer, and also the Harrington Investments Group, and pretty much was able to say exactly what I wanted to say. Of course, 3 minutes is a very short amount of time. There's a lot of different areas about GMOs and glyphosate that I could have covered. I understand that. But I presented what I felt was the most important information for the shareholders to know, to be able to fairly assess whether or not Monsanto was going in the right direction. And now the referendum itself is a shareholder access proxy, meaning it would give shareholders access to voting for members on the board, such as the idea of having a farmer on a on the board of a company which claims to be one of the largest sustainable agriculture companies in the world. It would make sense to have a farmer on the board, or
right.
or a pediatrician on the board of a company which is claiming to feed the world. It would make sense to have a pediatrician on board that's looking after the health and well-being of fetuses, babies, and children that are developing by their mothers eating this food. And so that's what the referendum and the proxy was for. Now, it was advisory, not compulsory, which Lisa from Some of Us pointed out in the meeting, which I'm very grateful for her that she did this. She got up and actually asked after it passed, will you actually be implementing, this proxy? It was advisory, not compulsory. Will you actually implement it? And that was wonderful because she actually had, Hugh Grant sort of on the spot, so to speak, in front of his entire shareholder meeting. Is he going to actually acknowledge and honor the majority vote?
Okay, and share with people just briefly who Hugh Grant is in case they don't know.
Okay, so Hugh Grant is the CEO of Monsanto. And he's been CEO for, I don't know how many years, I think like 13 or 14 years. He has a very heavy Scottish accent. He is extremely brilliant and commanding in presence. However, when I met him, I was just like, bring it on. I need to speak up and stand up and say what needs to be said for the moms who are struggling with children with health issues. And so I think that this meeting was historic because a mom was able to speak on behalf of her children and the children, around the country and around the world, which I believe and, millions of us now believe are being impacted by toxic chemicals. And the majority of these toxic chemicals are coming to us through our food. 85% of our processed food is genetically modified, and 80% of that those GMOs are genetically modified to withstand Roundup, which is the most widely used weed killer in the world. Now, the other 20% are genetically modified, to actually be a pesticide. They have the BT toxin inside the corn. In the meeting, I primarily focused on glyphosate and Roundup because that's where I've really focused my attention on, and it's the most widely used in the world. Also, they're using it as a drying agent to spray on non-GMO and non-organic food crops to dry them just before harvest to speed up harvesting, and I brought that up in the meeting. And so it's very important for the shareholders to consider that this toxic chemical farming is contaminating our children and polluting our planet, and is not good business. Monsanto.
So you got your 3 minutes. Did you feel like you were heard, or were you paying attention to the other shareholders to see how well received this information was?
Yes, I was looking around the room. In fact, I started off addressing Hugh Grant directly. I positioned myself in a seat in a room, but there were about 800 people there, and there was a break in the middle of the room where there was a wide aisle, and I was sitting in the front row of that break. Directly in front of the microphone, and I chose a seat straight in front of Hugh Grant. And I stood up and looked around the room, and the feeling in the room is that, they're employees, they're shareholders, and there were many farmers there that have been putting their life's work into this company and into this company's products.
Right.
And so it was almost as if they couldn't allow themselves to really get it and hear it. It was almost like there was a blank, there was definitely a fear to receive this information the way that they probably would like to for the sake of their companies. However, there were also people there that smiled at me when the process passed, and there were actually some that patted me on the back. And there were some that in the, there was one in the bathroom that thanked me afterwards for my courage and said that there are many of us, she said, behind you, and to please keep doing what you're doing. And when I left the room at the end, there were many people that actually smiled and nodded at me very sort of discreetly, but I was being sort of corralled out of the room, you know, herded out of the room to not speak to other shareholders. So I didn't have the opportunity to really get a feel of what, you know, more shareholders saw, except for that one lady in the bathroom.
Well, when you spoke, you said you spoke and you positioned yourself so you could really be speaking to Hugh Grant. What was his response after you gave your 3 minutes of information?
Well, he responded the same way that he responded to Adam Ettinger when he spoke at the Monsanto shareholder meeting, which was basically that the bulk of the remarks that I gave were not on topic with the proxy, and that the proxy itself could be found on page blah, 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 and to please direct your attention towards the issue of the proxy and to please vote accordingly. That the issues that I brought up could be addressed in the question and answer session at the end of the meeting, and that he would be addressing my concerns around those topics at the end of the meeting at the question and answer session.
And did he do that?
Yes, actually, I got up at the question and answer session at the end, and I thought I wasn't aware I would have 3 minutes, so I didn't prepare questions and answer, you know, questions at the end to actually speak for 3 minutes at a time. I thought, oh, I can ask a question, and then I would probably just have to sit down, right? And he would then respond. But I realized that I had 3 minutes, so my first question, I didn't actually take up the whole, well, maybe I did take up the 3 minutes because he would say something, then I would ask something back. We really had a dialogue. And when I first got up, I was compelled to ask about the feeding of the world. I actually sort of didn't first address the things that I covered in the proxy statement because they kept going on and on about feeding the world. You know, 200,000 babies are born every day, and we need food for them, and we're, you know, it's just, it was all about feeding the world, so I needed to address that. And so when I got up, I asked, you know, I acknowledged that they're committed to feeding the world and that it's a noble cause. However, there's farmers like Will Allen, he's in Wisconsin, who grows 1 million pounds of food a year on 3 acres. You know, it's over 10,000 fish. That's a protein and vegetables on 3 acres, and if Monsanto is so concerned with feeding the world, why aren't they supporting programs like this? So he addressed that by saying, you know, there's lots of methods of farming, and we need to incorporate all different kinds. However, they're not the only agriculture company, and that we need other methods from other places around the world, and, you know, all of that. So, and then he actually steered the either he or I did the conversation back to the children and the health issues, and he just repeatedly said that there are no studies showing harm, and that Roundup has been proven safe. It's been used for 40 years. It's been reviewed by in Germany several times. Their pre-approval process has gone through several times, and you can see the full account, my full account on without a recording that I wrote up on Saturday on my website, on my blog.
Okay.
And also there'll be a recording that will be out and access to, as far as I understand, to the shareholders. It's supposed to be today or soon.
Great. And I will post a link to that on the show page, too, so that it will be accessible to people who are listening to this so they can see the full account. So it's interesting. I've been thinking a lot and been interviewing quite a few people about this very issue of we need GMOs to feed the world. And I believe that, and there are several others, that we really need to dismantle this lie. Because, first of all, there is no global food supply shortage. So if we if we can disprove this lie, which is their big thing that they hang on, that we need GMOs to feed the world. And people who are uneducated about GMOs, that's what they say, because that's what the Monsanto PR machines are creating. What's your opinion about that, about, you know, really focusing on dismantling that lie?
Well, you know, that's a great tactic. I've posted a couple of times on my Facebook page for Moms Across America. There's a TED Talk by a man, I don't remember his name right now, but he focuses solely on the waste, on food waste in our country. We waste 40% of our food, and our population is 40% of our population is obese. And yet 16 million children go to bed hungry every night in America. The fact is that it's not the food that needs to be modified. It's the food system.
Right.
And I clearly I have a slide just that says that in our PowerPoint with Moms Across America. If you become an empowered leadership, if you get on our empowered leadership speaker panel, you can see that PowerPoint and go through that with me, and I will give it to you. I'm having a training session tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. I'm only having leaders who have actually held events or have events posted on our Moms Across America website, people who actually enter in their name and their email and their address and their telephone numbers, because we want, of course, real people who are really committed, who are actually having events and making a difference in their area. But that is one of the major things to address. Now, I didn't get into that in the meeting. There's so many things, you know, of course, in retrospect, that I definitely could have said. And I invite anybody who wants to write up a document, if you read my full account or if you listen to the full thing on what was missing, I absolutely welcome any, if you want to call it criticism, I'll just call it feedback, on what could have been said. We need those points ironclad. We need talking points like that so that anybody who goes up in front of anyone has those points clear and can clearly show that there is a huge fear-mongering tactic going on around the population and the food supply and the amount of food that we have and the amount of food we need to produce. You know, the other thing is that when I did mention the amount of food that can be produced on 3 acres, you know, a million pounds, I mentioned that the corn that is produced on the equivalent type of 3 acres are only going to go to corn syrup and cornstarch and biofuel,
right?
You know, or feeding animals in a feedlot. It's not sustainable to people in the manner that, you know, aquaponics or permaculture or biodiverse, you know, organic farming is. It's just, the fact is that we have faith in our farmers to farm as they have for thousands of years without toxic chemicals. Our farmers are ingenious. And I said that in the meeting because there were many farmers there that farm, you know, tens of thousands of acres, commodity farmers. I want them to know this is not an attack on them. This is trust and faith in them to farm the way that they have, the way their forefathers farmed for thousands of years. We absolutely can produce enough food for America and the world, and we are. We just need to do it in a way that's sustainable to our planet and doesn't contaminate our children.
Yes, I agree. Zen, was there lots of media there?
I noticed that on the left side of the room, there was a table of about 6 people that could have been media because they were separate from everyone else, and it was a small, narrow table. There was a video camera that was filming the entire thing. I don't know if there were one or two of them, but for sure I saw one. And the Wall Street Journal was there because they reported on it.
Yeah.
So I was very glad, yeah, that they picked up, you know, what I said about please stop poisoning our children.
Yeah.
And I'm imploring you to take Monsanto, you know, in a new direction, to take this company in a new direction. So I'm very glad that they picked that up. Of course, they didn't cover why, you know, the extent of the harm and damage that's being done to our children and babies. But it appeared that there was some media there.
I was going to ask you about that article in the Wall Street Journal. And in my opinion, even though they didn't fully cover the why behind what you said, I think that planted a seed.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is the most respected financial journal in America, if not the world, and for them to actually pick up that there was a mom speaking about health issues at the shareholder meeting saying that their products are poisoning the children, I mean, that's huge. Any investor is going to take a look at that and say, is this really a wise investment? You know, is this really the direction that I want to take, you know, my money in and my plans to build a foundation of security for my children? Do I actually want to invest in something which could be poisoning them and, in fact, destroying their future? And that's one of the points that I brought up at the meeting, that you really want to take a look at what is the actual reality of the results of your investments. You know, are you really feeding the world, or are you in fact hurting generations to come?
Right. And also there may be others too that planting that seed may do a little extra homework and start to really investigate this for themselves.
I hope so. I invited them to go to our website and to look up our data page. I told them that GMO Free USA has over 1,800 studies. I invited them actually to try eating organic for 3 weeks and put raw organic sauerkraut in their gut, which is good probiotics, and heal their gut and see how they feel. Try it out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about getting, and I mentioned, you know, many different studies, and I included an entire binder full of studies, and you can see on the press release on my website as well, I put it under About and Media. The speech that, or presentation that I gave, I have bibliographies for every point that I make in it, you know, going back to a study or a paper or some research that shows, if not causation, then correlation to that particular, you know, illness or impact on our children and our babies. And, you know, I know that for all of them, it doesn't necessarily show causation. But I promise you, you cannot read these studies and papers and reports and have a clear understanding how when the body does X, then Y is what happens, right? Like if you put something in your gut that destroys the gut bacteria, mm-hmm. right, and your gut bacteria is where 70% of your immune system lies, you would expect that there might be autoimmune issues. You know, and so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to put this together. You just have to have some basic understanding of how the body works and how, you know, bacteria works, or how the bacteria signals the brain, or how, you know, just a few different things that go on in the body. And then when you see the studies that where it shows birth defects, you know, happen in frogs and pigs, well, obviously I would want to avoid that in human food or in, you know, water that humans are consuming. You don't actually need a study on a human being to prove that. You just need to take precaution and
right.
be smart about it. So I do have, you know, bibliographies to everything that I said on the press release, on my page. I did give that to them as well. I gave them a binder full of over 200 studies. Of course, there could have been many, many more. I mean, not 200 studies, sorry, 200 pages of studies and research. And I also gave them over 200 testimonials, and OCA has had another 300 testimonials, so we have over 500 testimonials that they will get. The OCA ones they didn't get yet, but they will get those. And, you know, the fact is that they've been notified that we believe that this is what's happening in public, on record. This is very serious, and this is a very good thing for our movement. And whether we won the proxy or not, this would still be, I believe, a huge win for moms.
I agree.
You know, it's so important that our voices are heard, and that what is happening, the reality of our children, what is happening is acknowledged. And I don't necessarily believe that, you know, Hugh Grant is going to have this huge change of heart and, you know, change everything overnight. But I do believe that there are influential shareholders in that room and on the board that are going to say, hang on a second, we really need to take another look at this. We need to start looking in another direction, and we need to change course. And my mom taught me to look at the good in everything. And I really believe that there is some good in that room that will make a difference. And that's why I went there. And I did the best I could. And, you know, I know that some people will criticize me for what I said or didn't say, or, you know, whatever, but I feel like it was extremely empowering for moms. And I'm very grateful to John Harrington and to Tracy at Harrington Investments that made this possible. And, of course, Organic Consumer Association and some of us that planned the rally outside of the event. I'm extremely grateful for the people who are supportive, who are working together, and who will not stop.
Yeah.
It will keep going.
Well, we need more people like you in the world. And I want to go back just for a few moments when you were talking about the gut, because I think this is one of the key issues when we're talking about glyphosate. Can you just briefly explain to our listeners, just for educational purposes, what glyphosate does in the gut?
Sure. Well, it's many things, actually. The first way that it's functions you mentioned as a chelator is this is the way it works. It would strip rust and minerals off of pipes when they first discovered it or found it, what it was doing. And so a chelator means it holds or makes unavailable the vital nutrients of any living thing it touches. And that means it's going to take those vitamin minerals basically, you know, out of the living things. It makes it unavailable, right, to your body. So your body is then not able to fight cancer and illness the way it normally would without those minerals. And if you don't have certain minerals, you cannot fight cancer. And right now in America, 1 out of 2 males and 1 out of 3 females are expected to get cancer. But that's the chelation part of it, that Don Huber, with 50 years as a plant pathologist, says that glyphosate essentially gives the plant AIDS. It weakens its immune system to such a level because it, you know, doesn't have the vitamins and minerals that the normally harmless bacteria in the soil then kills the weed. So it's not actually glyphosate that kills the weed, right? It's the normally harmless bacteria in the soil that kills the weed. So that's why they can say that glyphosate is safe, because on its own, it doesn't actually kill the plant, the weed. Right, it's the other bacteria in the environment. So that's the chelation factor. Then it's also an antibiotic, which is destroying the gut bacteria, which you mentioned. An antibiotic, this is a patented antibiotic, and it has been shown to destroy the beneficial gut bacteria and allow the pathogenic gut bacteria to proliferate. And this is very important to know, because the pathogenic bacteria, which is like Clostridia, different kinds of fungus, you know, C. diff, these are all been extremely prevalent in our society over the past 10 years. These pathogenic gut bacteria have on the outer walls of it a thing called lipopolysaccharides, which is known to destroy the gut lining. And when you destroy the gut lining, little holes form in the gut lining, and those pathogenic bacteria can escape into the bloodstream, you know, causing all kinds of issues, autoimmune issues. And it can also allow food particles to escape. And then the body attacks that food particle as if it's a foreign protein. A foreign invader. And suddenly then recognizes, you know, wheat or, you know, bananas or mango or soy or whatever as a foreign invader, and thinks that the body needs to attack it. So then you have a food allergy. But what the lipopolysaccharides on the pathogenic bacteria also do is they signal the brain through the vagal nerve, and they tell the microglia in the brain, which is an autoimmune cell, to activate, and it creates glutamate, which is an excitotoxin. And this is from Dr. Buckley. You can look at his website, drbuckley.com, and also Stephanie Seneff has mentioned this as well from MIT, that glutamate actually destroys brain neurons. So then you've got Alzheimer's showing up. You've got, in certain parts of the brain, autism. If it happens in the spinal cord, you've got ALS. If it happens in other parts of the body, you've got inflammation and arthritis and psoriasis. And psoriasis is an autoimmune disease where the body is turning on itself and attacking itself. And so there is a scientifically proven gut-brain connection. When you destroy the gut bacteria, you're going to impact your brain. You're also going to impact your entire immune system. And this is why I believe that glyphosate is intrinsically connected to 1 out of 2 of our children having a chronic illness today. We are eating this in our food, it's in our water, it's in our urine, it is the most widely used herbicide in the world, and no one will convince me that it's not connected to our skyrocketing health issues. So in addition to being an antibiotic and a chelator, glyphosate is also an endocrine disruptor. And what that means is that very small levels of glyphosate can impact, harm, or stop the development of a fetus at any point in its development. So a larger dose is not what matters. A very, very tiny amount can impact the fetus. And what I was able to share in the meeting is that the studies that were submitted to the EPA by Monsanto, you know, these 20 to 40-year-old studies, actually show harm. They actually show that a shrimp will die from exposure to glyphosate at levels above 5.2 parts per million. And this is a level that is below what is in our food. You know, sugar actually is allowed to have 25 parts per million on it. And also that glyphosate was recently found to be viable in salt water for 351 days in dark salt water. And so I looked around the room and I asked them the question, what's in our womb? Dark salt water. And what is the size of a six-week-old fetus? It's the size of a shrimp. And I looked back at Hugh Grant and I said, you cannot ignore that the contamination of our environment and our children and our fetuses and our babies is happening. You must take steps to avert this. And so that was a very important point to make. And I told them about the Ib Peterson pig study where 3,000 pigs were given glyphosate-sprayed grain, and their miscarriages went up to 30%. The grains were taken away that were sprayed with glyphosate. They went down to 3%. The grains were put back into their diet, and their miscarriages went back up again to 30%. And I said, what do we have in America today? We have a 30% rate of infertility and miscarriage, the highest in recorded history. You know, we must acknowledge this, that there could be a connection and take steps.
Well said, Zen. And I want to add to that list when you were talking about the connection, the glutamate to the brain and what that creates is Dr. Russell Blaylock, who's a retired neurosurgeon. You can look him up to the Blaylock Report and you can get information as well because he's done lots of research and has lots of published papers, peer-reviewed papers on this very issue. So then what's next for you and Moms Across America?
Oh my goodness. Well, next we have a Moms Meetup on May 2nd, which is going to be a national meetup, we hope maybe even international, where moms will meet up with friends in their neighborhoods, either their homes or their libraries or their community centers. And we hope they'll invite at least 15 moms to gather and get together and to the goal is to share, support, and inspire action. And I've had an evening like this where we got together and went around in a circle and everybody shared what their kids' health issues were and how they're dealing with them, what solutions they've had. I mean, we were crying, we were laughing, we were connecting, we were getting that we were not the only ones with kids with, you know, six different allergies and feeling like the weird ones bringing the organic kale to the barbecue. You know, it was really very empowering and impactful for me and all the moms involved. And we want to have that happen all across the nation to empower moms to be leaders in their neighborhood, to share this information. And we'll have an international call to action with Vandana Shiva and Jeffrey Smith, Evangelos Valientos, which you've had on your show. He wrote the book Poison Spring. And we're hoping a few other notable moms will join us that have actually caused things like GMO-free zones in their neighborhood or pesticide-free, you know, schools. And the moms will be left with actions that they can take in their neighborhood, which will make a difference right now today. Because regardless of the labeling and regardless of the EPA ignoring the scientific studies which show proven harm, we need to take steps today. We moms are not about waiting for somebody else to, you know, protect our kids. We need to take steps now. And we can do that if we create GMO-free zones in our community and pesticide-free zones and if we buy organic. So the last thing we're going to do is we are going to have a pledge where moms pledge to have five of their friends switch to organic. And those five have five switch over, and those five have five that switch over. And if we do that in one location, that'll be 1,875 moms. And if we do that in 100 locations, we will cause a shift. When each mom spends only $200 a week on organic food, which is pretty easy to do, that shift will be a $1.8 billion shift to organic.
Wow.
We can do that.
That's impressive, and what a great idea.
Yeah, thank you. That's the power of moms, and we buy 85% of the food. You know, these chemical companies and these food manufacturers that are making junk that's banned in Europe, many of the foods that we eat, the food dyes, the colorings, the chemicals in the food are banned. If you go to Food Babe's website, you'll see a whole litany of them that, you know, show that many of our foods are banned. So if we just empower the moms to buy organic you know, we're eating wholesome, nutritious, and many, many cases, much more flavorful food that has been shown in some cases to have more nutrients that's grown in a way that's more sustainable to the planet. We're not killing the soil with toxic chemicals. We're not causing runoff into the water. We're not causing, huge factory farms to take over small, organic farmers. We're supporting a system that works. And we absolutely can do that. And I believe it's really up to the moms. We need everybody on board. We need dads and students and, uncles and aunts and everybody. But I'm focused on the moms because I'm a mom and we buy 85% of the food. And it's time that we moms are, empowered to take actions in our community.
I agree. And the website, again, for all our listeners is momsacrossamerica.com. If you haven't been there, go check it out. Check out their Facebook page. I mean, there's so much information on your site and information, especially if you're a mom or a grandmother or a parent. So thank you for being a guest on our show. It's always such a pleasure to speak with you and to hear about the wonderful work you're doing with Moms Across America. And we applaud you for that. And thanks to our listeners. And we'll be back next week with another great show where our guest will be Bonnie Hari, the food babe. You don't want to miss that one. We're going to be talking about her new book, The Food Babe Way. Thanks again, Zen, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Carol.